Dear beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sermon's focus today will be from verses 5 through to 7 of Luke 1. That will be our concentration, although we'll be looking at some other passages of Scripture. Our focus will be on verses 5 through 7. My family and I were recently reading this passage of Holy Scripture in our family today devotional time, and the Lord really spoke to me on this particular passage of Scripture, and has really laid it upon my heart to speak to yourselves today, because it was such a great blessing. You see, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth are very much understated heroes of the faith in the New Testament. You don't really hear of too many sermons got to do with the faith of Zacharias and of Elizabeth, simply because, of course, their great and miraculous son, John the Baptist, of course, eclipses them in many ways. Nevertheless, it is good for us here today to study God's most precious word, the full counsel of it, and to glean what truths that we can take from it today. In verses 5 and 7, we read earlier how Zacharias and his wife lived in the days of Herod. Herod, of course, was a foreigner, wasn't he? He was an Edomite. And how, in effect, they had many, many setbacks and many discouragements in their lives. And yet these discouragements never, ever prevented them from their faith of duty to God. And these things, of course, are written down for our learning, that we may be blessed thereby. And so let us remind ourselves of that particular passage of Holy Scripture, verses 5 through 7. It reads as follows. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And so to aid today's study in God's most precious word, I would like us to carefully consider the following three points, please. Firstly, the discouragements that were faced. Secondly, the faith in God's duty shown here. According to his word. And thirdly, the double blessing they received when found faithful in God's duty. And so firstly, the discouragements that were faced. As we read earlier, Zacharias and Elizabeth were living in the days when Herod was king over Judea. Gone were the illustrious days of King David and King Solomon. The family of David, of course, had dwindled itself down to a very, very low ebb indeed. The scepter was departed from Judah, as it was foretold by Jacob's prophecy in Genesis 49:10. The time for Shiloh was almost come. The Messiah, the Christ, was almost come. Things were bad in Israel, weren't they? Incredibly bad. The established religion of that day had become deeply hypocritical. Religion had become rank. And no doubt the people feared when they heard the news of the coming Messiah in all of Jerusalem. And it's a bit similar to these days in which we live in, isn't it? Many people were made to abhor religion because of the way it was lived out by its leaders. And like I said, not much has changed in this respect, has it? However, God did not leave himself without a witness. There remained a remnant of true believers who were trusting and holding to God's word by faith, despite all the setbacks, all the discouragements around them. And one of which was a certain priest named Zacharias. He was a certain priest, the scriptures tell us here. Not only because he and his wife came from
a very well-respected family who descended from Aaron, both of them. Abiah was also descended from Aaron. But he was a certain priest in that he was certainly different from the majority of the priests of that day, where it was more of an outward show for them. It was more of what men thought of them than what God thought of them. Because he truly loved God's word. He truly served the Lord from the heart, truly seeking to be conformed to God's word and not what men wanted him to be. And these were the days that they were living in. Zacharias and Elizabeth, these untold heroes of the faith. Herod, I believe, was an Edomite, wasn't he? He was a foreigner to the Commonwealth of Israel. But he was made deputy for the Romans. And many historians will tell you that he had quite a few business dealings with the Romans. He had land from the Romans. He got along well with his fellow pagans. And so his interest really wasn't in the children of Israel. He wasn't really inclined to those things. He was appeasing the Pharisees. And so they were governed by someone who really was opposed to the true to God's true word. If this were not discouraging, of course, enough for Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were also made to endure much heartache and sorrow for many, many years because they had no child, as it says in verse 7. Because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well now, well stricken in years. The Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord, doesn't it? And no doubt Zacharias and his wife would have brought up children in the fear of the Lord. And so, as believers, they faced so many discouragements all around them, encompassing them, in every area of their lives. Beloved, what happens when seemingly things in our life go in the opposite way to what we perceive to be God's blessing? What do we do when these things happen? We perceive with this virus and everything, what do we do when seemingly everything goes in the opposite direction to what we perceive to be God's blessing? This was true in the case of Isaac, and of Jacob, and of Joseph, and of Samuel, and many others, wasn't it? Many other saints of old, whose mothers were left childless for many years, and who faced severe trials of their faith. And so here we have it. Zacharias and Elizabeth no doubt faced discouragements head on in their immediate family for many, many years, being left childless, without a family to prolong the faith in the land. No doubt that's why they wanted children. Of course, they're a blessing, they're a great joy to have children, but the aim for children, for a Christian, is to prolong the faith in the land, to bring them up in the fear of the Lord, to prolong that faith, to fly the banner high from the Lord, to be good stewards of what God has given us. But they also faced many discouragements of the political and religious instability going on all around them. From a spiritual perspective, things were barren, weren't they, like Elizabeth. And they were very unstable all around them, a bit like in the days that we live in today. Yet amongst this barrenness and this instability were Zacharias and Elizabeth found to be stable and faithful and fruitful. Friends, at times, all of us here can fail the Lord, can't we? We can all put our hands up and we can say we've had seasons of failing the Lord, seasons that we're just ready to pack it all in and just give up because we've prayed so for so long, so sincerely, and we don't sometimes see those answers to our prayer, and sometimes we just feel like throwing in the towel, as it were. Friends, let us take courage from the truth of God's word and the comfort of God's word, and the encouragement it gives us here. Let us understand that these things were written aforetime for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope, as it says in Romans 15:4. Friends, are we trusting in the sufficiency of God's holy word, the scriptures, in our lives for all the things that we need in life, every area of our lives, as Zacharias and Elizabeth were, and set this great example for us? They had faith in God's most precious word, and in his promises, and in the sure testimonies of old. Do we, friends, have faith in doing things God's way, of holding on to his promises and his word? God's word says to this effect in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This now brings us to our second consideration for today's sermon. That is the faith in God's duty shown. Zacharias and Elizabeth showed unwavering faith in sincerely living according to God's most precious word, despite their many, many setbacks in their life. Verse 6 says about them, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. What a testimony. A few observations for us to take note of here. It says that they were both righteous. This doesn't mean that they were both sinless before God. What it means is they were both righteous in the fact that they were trusting in God and in his salvation. They were trusting in the prophesied Christ. They were trusting in his promises, his word for their life. And of course, it was accounted to them, as it was to Abraham, for righteousness. They were trusting in the Savior. They were trusting in the word that became flesh, and it was accounted to them for righteousness. You see, we can be on that narrow path, and we can still fall at times. It's narrow. It can sometimes be discouraging. It's not like a broad road. It's a narrow road. Yet the Lord is always there. If we trust in his word, if we have that divine faith, he's always there to pick us up so that we carry on that narrow road, as it were. And so, we know that they were trusting in Christ. We know that they were righteous before the Lord God because they trusted in the Messiah. We know that from Zacharias' prophecy later on in today's text, in verses 17 through to 18. That is what made them righteous before God. That they were sincere in living for the Lord by faith. Not as the Pharisees, not as the hypocrites were to men. They were righteous before God. Secondly, the text set before us says that they were both righteous before God. They were both righteous before God. What a blessing it is, dear friends, to be equally yoked in marriage. That is an unspeakable blessing. And we should encourage our young people to make sure with all their hearts, to make sure, if they're a believer, first of all, to make sure of their own salvation. But secondly, surely, there's not a greater thing outside of one's salvation to make sure that they're married in the Lord. Because that will have consequences for the rest of their life on their children. And so they were both righteous. They were equally yoked in marriage, being blessed of the Lord. Thirdly, they were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And like I said before, they sincerely, by faith, believed in God's word, manifested itself in the walking and the doing of God's word, in all the commandments and all the ordinances, all the orders that God gives us in his word. And like I said, they were not sinless. They had sin. Like we have sin. But what it is meant by this is they were sincere. They had close accounts with the Lord. There was true faith and repentance towards God. They were living according to His word and not how they felt and not according to their circumstance. They lived for God despite the crushing disappointments within their marriage and not being able to have children, which must have been crushing for many, many years. And of course, within the rank state of religion of that day, and of course, with all the political turmoil of that day as well. Friends, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth shine as godly examples and lights for us to follow in this respect, in this veil of tears that we go through. It is a truth of Scripture that often true believers' faith is proven. It must be proved that through much pain, there are much tears and afflictions, as it was with Zacharias and Elizabeth and all the saints of old. And unless we have God's word deep within us, unless we truly are holding to God's word as our rule in life, and we love it more than we love the things in this world, we're going to fall. We're going to turn back. That's why it says of God's word that it is tried in a furnace of fire 7 times, perfect as it were. And only if you have God's word, the proving of God, only if you have it deep within your heart, the proving of God, He will prove our faith, that if it is of God or not. And only if we love and are conformed to His word, we will be proven in these things. It is said of Moses in Hebrews 11:24 through to 26, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He respected God's ways, heaven's ways, more than man's ways, more than what he felt, more than his natural inclination to just be in that palace and enjoy those pleasures. He thought it more to be spent for the children of Israel, to be used of the Lord, to trust in God's word. We learned recently in our Bible study, Psalm 18:21, how David, amidst his many severe trials of faith, did not depart from God's ways, did he? It says, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. The same can be said of all the saints of old, of Joseph, and Abraham, and Hannah, and Naomi, and Ruth, and Job, and the countless saints of old. Dearly beloved, it is not my intention here to make us feel inadequate or bad as Christians, because we all fail the Lord. We all have inbred sin, besetting sins, and we are all in need of sanctification, aren't we? Every day. It is my intention here, however, to stir us all up to greater lengths of faith in being committed to the Lord in all areas of life, as Zacharias and as Elizabeth were. Over the many trying years as a believer, the Lord has laid on my heart to share with us today just two very simple principles which the Lord has taught me, often through pain and often through my own faults. Two very simple principles for us here today, which I'd just like to share with you. And so, before I say that, this now brings us to our third and our final consideration for today's sermon. And that is, thirdly, the double blessing received. The double blessing here we receive, Zacharias and Elizabeth received. And so, back to those two spiritual principles and biblical formulas. They are this. Firstly, keep your heart pure before the Lord. Keep your heart pure before the Lord. It says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, For out of it are the issues of life. It's imperative as Christians that we have a heart religion before the Lord. The Lord looks at our hearts. It was said of Zacharias and his wife that they were both righteous before God. They were righteous before God as opposed to men. They sincerely loved God from the heart. They sincerely loved God's word more than their circumstances, more than their feelings, more than anything, despite the blessings for many years weren't there. Everything around them seemed to oppose God's blessing upon them. Yet they held to God's word by faith. Friends, this is true saving faith. Theirs was a heart religion before God. There was true faith in God's word. There was true repentance before the Lord and close accounts before the Lord. It is obvious by the context of this passage. They took seriously the command that we read earlier in Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee, they're commandments. They are not optional. And these words which I command thee, this day shall be in thine heart. They shall be in thine heart. Do we love the Lord our God, our Creator, the only Savior of sinners? Do we love Him with everything? Everything that we've got, our strength, are we spent for Him? Can we say in every area of our life, in our hearts, in our homes, in His service in the local church, we are absolutely spent for Him? That we're not holding anything back, we're not keeping something back and saying, well, I'll do enough as a Christian. I'll just give Him enough, as it were. Well, really, friends, we do forsake many times the blessings of the Lord if that's our attitude. Scripture teaches us that when we are holding things back from the Lord, we often forsake His blessings because God often answers those prayers, often long-awaited prayers, at the means of grace. He often answers them when we're found faithful in His duty despite all the discouragements. And we see this so very clearly in this passage and in Scripture. All your heart, your soul, so everything, your spirit, your soul, everything that God has given you, are you serving the Lord? Are you spent for the Lord? You see, it must be with everything, else it's with nothing. It must be with everything, friends. We must not give any room to the devil. You see, friends, if our religion is not one of the heart, sincerely before the Lord, we'll never really know of the spiritual blessings which Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth knew of. The second spiritual principle, which has been a blessing over to me, and which I've learned really over the years by many and all, is this. And of course, this second principle is only true if the first one is true of you. Secondly, the second principle is faith, divine faith of God, establishes itself in God's duty. Divine faith establishes itself in God's duty. Those who are saved by God's grace, it's a moving faith. It's an active faith, like Noah. He moved with faith amidst the discouragement. And so faith always establishes itself in God's duty. It was said of Zacharias in verse 8, that he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his cause. He did it in meticulous detail, in the order of his cause, despite not having children, despite so many discouragements around him. He had respect for the recompense or the reward of God's word. He respected God's word. He didn't give in to his feelings. He didn't give in and say, well, God hasn't blessed me in this. My circumstance for many years, it seems that God is not blessing me. No, he held on to God's word. We must have that long view, as Zacharias did. did, despite being compassed about with many afflictions and setbacks, in his life, Zacharias and his wife had respect unto the recompense of the reward of God's word, as Moses did. Friends, I do believe the reason why so many Christians often forsake the blessings that God so dearly wants to give them is because they are not truly committed to the Lord in all areas of life. Often, as I said before, as we see clearly from the truth of God's word, our prayers are often answered in the line of our Christian duty by faith. And God's word says to this effect, doesn't it, in 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. We're born of the Holy Spirit of God. And when we are not spent for the Lord, when we are not serving the Lord in all of our capacity, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we are not committed to the Lord, why should the Lord be committed to us in answering our prayers? I must confess, friends, I have spent many a night pouring my heart out before the Lord, often in tears, over the lack of commitment and dedication to God's people have to serving Him in the local church. In this internet age that we live in, many Christians have become incredibly complacent and to the means of grace, dedicated to the Lord. Many Christians think it but a small thing nowadays than this, coming to the means of grace and to a weekly Bible study and a prayer meeting where we come together as a body of believers, strengthening one another, sharpening one another in the Lord, beseeching the Lord by faith, despite our setbacks, despite our discouragements. Well, I know the Lord does not think lightly upon these things. As we know from the book of Revelation, the churches there were upbraided because of their lack of faith and devotion to the Lord. I'm not saying that I am perfect, that I am some kind of Zacharias. I'm certainly not. I get wrong at times, friends. And sometimes I can misjudge the mood. I can get it wrong with sermons. But I do hope that you can see that I'm sincere, sincerely dedicated to the Lord. And that I'm sincerely dedicated to God's people here. What I'm saying is this. God never, ever blesses compromise. And I have learned this from many a fall in my Christian walk. Just remember this, if you take anything from the sermon, God never, ever blesses compromise. If we are not fully committed to the Lord in all areas of our Christian faith, first of all, it must be from the home. And then that establishes itself in the home. First the heart, it establishes itself in the home, how we govern our homes, and then of course in our desire to be used for the Lord within the local church. Whatever it is, David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to be in the tents of the wicked. Whatever it is, whatever duty God gives me, I'd rather be that. I'd rather be used of God. And that is probably my number one prayer, one of my biggest prayers, to be used of God for His glory, to be spent for Him. Because ultimately, only those things which are done in Christ are going to last. Everything on that great and terrible day of the Lord's return is going to just pale into insignificance. Are we committed, friends? Are we committed to the Lord? And if we are not fully dedicated to the Lord in these three areas, we really do forsake God's blessing. In our sermon text today, we see how God often answers our prayers, where we are found faithful in the line of duty, where we truly by faith serve Him with all our hearts, as we see here with Zacharias and with Elizabeth. God's word says to this effect in verses 9 through 14, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot, that's Zacharias's,
was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. This is just so wonderful we see here. Look at the providence of God in this passage of Scripture. It was Zacharias' lot to burn incense. As a priest, he would have had different responsibilities. He didn't always burn incense. He would have had various responsibilities. And no doubt we know that this was the Lord's day because there were people praying from without. So it was more than likely it was the Lord's day. But it was his lot, providentially, it fell upon his lot this day to be burning the incense at the altar of incense. Now we see here, again, dear friends, how the Lord answers his prayer at the very place where prayer is given, as it were, at the altar of incense. But God is trying to tell us something here, that often our prayers, and often even our old prayers, that we might have prayed from a long ago, we thought and have been forgotten about, are often answered when we are by faith, are found faithful in God's duty. Verse 10 says, and the multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. And so how blessed it is here to see a faithful congregation praying. There is a remnant of believers truly devoted to the Lord, truly praying, upholding the things of Christ. How wonderful it is, friends, that we can be of one mind, serving the Lord, dedicated to the Lord here. Verse 11 says, and there appeared unto him, that's Zacharias, an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And again, the very place that fell on his lot providentially, the very place where he was to offer prayer, that he was found faithful, is the very place where God answered his prayer. Double blessing prayer, we see here. This is amazing, friends. We know that incense was a picture of prayer, wasn't it? Because it rises up and it's a sweet smell unto the Lord. The very place he was found faithful, God was pleased to answer his prayer. It says in verse 12, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. The name John signifies gracious. The Lord was gracious to them. Verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Shall we see the double blessing of those who are truly spent for the Lord by faith and by grace? We see the double blessing. No doubt that Zacharias and his wife had given up on having a child in their old age. They were well past the age. Perhaps it was a prayer that they prayed fervently before, but now they're well stricken in age. I believe the main prayer that Zacharias was praying for and his wife was the salvation of God's people, the many people who were to be saved in Israel. That's what he was praying for. That's what he desired, for souls to be saved. He was fervently praying for Shiloh's return. He was fervently praying for the Lord to visit his people with his salvation. That was his main prayer. And yet the Lord amazingly answered a double blessing, a double answer to prayer. Not only did the Lord visit his people with his amazing salvation, his amazing grace in Jesus, many people were converted. The Lord did do that. His prayer was answered. But the Lord was pleased to answer one of his old prayers. Don't give up on those old prayers, dear believer. Those things that have gone up in the past, the Lord can still answer those amazing prayers. And he did with Zacharias and Elizabeth. That he was pleased to do that by giving them a son. And not only a son that gave great joy in their hearts, but a believing son. A double blessing we see here, friends. Friends, let us learn from these things. Let us take these truths to heart. Dearly beloved, let us learn from Holy Scripture and the godly example that we see here. Let us for our comfort and our encouragement and our blessing. That God's blessing and answers to our prayers of faith, as sincerely as they are often answered when we live out our faith in all our areas of our life, when we're spent for the Lord. No doubt, God will prove us all in this respect, as he did with Zacharias and Elizabeth. You know, as I said before, the name John signifies gracious. Gracious. God was gracious to Zacharias and to Elizabeth. And the Lord God has been very gracious to us, hasn't he, here today? The Lord has been very gracious. If we know the Lord savingly, we know him for salvation, he has been so gracious to us. Don't neglect God's graciousness. Don't neglect the gift, the unspeakable gift that he saved you from eternity. Don't neglect that. You must cultivate the most incredible gift from heaven in Christ. You must be spent for the Lord. Our God, it says in our earlier reading, Deuteronomy, is a jealous God. He wants us all for himself. He knows our frame better than we know ourselves. He knows that if we are not spent for the Lord, if our whole lives are not spent in his service, in every area of life, it will take us away from the Lord. Gradually, like the children of Israel, it's like a crack in the dam, where we start giving way in our life, where we're not fully committed to the Lord. It's like that crack. The crack gets bigger. And before you know it, we're fully blown. We're away from the Lord. Friends, let us learn from Holy Scripture. Take comfort from God's Word. Be spent for the Lord. And just watch how the Lord will pour upon a blessing upon your heart and your life. Maybe concerning your children. Maybe concerning many blessings. Be spent for the Lord. Pray for this. Pray for one another. Be dedicated to the Lord in every area of your life. God is no man's debtor. Let us truly believe in that. For his glory and for the benefit of precious souls. Let us.